For many people, visiting a loved one in jail can be an emotional and frustrating experience. A new investigation by WNYC's Urban Affairs reporter Cindy Rodriguez and Raven Rakia, journalist at The Intercept, reveals the risks that women face just by visiting inmates on Rikers Island. They learn that scores of women have been complaining for years about unnecessary and invasive strip searches conducted by female correction officers. This story appears on WNYC.org as Stripped of Their Dignity and on The Intercept's website as A Living Nightmare. And I'm very pleased to welcome Cindy Rodriguez and Raven Rakia to our show today. Hello.
Hi, Leonard. Nice to be here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Rikers Island is a jail complex operated by the New York City Department of Corrections. What does that mean in terms of rules for visitors? Are the rules different in jails and prisons?
Yeah, so at Rikers Island, the most invasive form of search at Rikers Island is what's called a pat frisk search. And basically, if a visitor goes through a metal detector and sets it off, or if there's reason to believe that that person is carrying some sort of contraband, a correction officer has the right to do what's called a pat frisk search. And a woman or a visitor is given a consent form. And then it's a pat frisk search. It's over the clothes. They can ask you to take off your coat or your shoes or your hat, but that's it. They run their fingers around your collar, around your waistband. They check the seams of your clothes, your pockets, things like that.
Well, how different is it from when we go through the security at an airport?
Right. I guess it's very similar to that, maybe a little bit more extensive. They can pat your crotch, for instance. But yeah, I think it is very similar.
What are the guards looking for when they search visitors? Raven?
Yeah, so they're mainly looking for contraband, so basically anything that is not allowed on the jail complex. That could be anything from money, which they can't bring, like dollar bills, to tobacco, cigarettes, drugs like marijuana or cocaine, for example, or weapons.
Why is money a problem?
Well, money isn't allowed on the jail complex, mainly because it will basically, if you have money, you could use it on the black market to buy cigarettes or to buy other things that aren't allowed.
Aren't corrections officers a big part of the smuggling problem?
Well, in 2014, you know, the city's Department of Investigation actually investigated this problem, and they sent in an undercover officer who was posing as a correction officer who was able to smuggle all kinds of things into the jail. And so they admonished the Department of Corrections for not doing enough to check their own employees.
So are they searched before they enter the jail complex?
Yes, they are. They are supposed to be searched. You know, their lunchboxes are supposed to be searched. They've recommended that, for instance, correction officers no longer be allowed to use cargo pants because of all the pockets in cargo pants. And so there have been several arrests of correction officers. Most recently, I think it was just last month, there was a correction officer that was arrested for smuggling in tobacco and other forms of contraband.
What happens, Raven, if visitors don't comply with searches?
Well, that's a good question. I think it actually varies, and it depends on what search we're talking about. So for the TAFTA search, if they don't comply, they can be given a non-contact visit, which means that they can't touch the person who's incarcerated. They only see them through a glass partition. But some women have complained that if they refuse to do a pat frisk search or refuse to do a more invasive search, a strip search or cavity search, they were sent home and were not able to visit at all.
Cindy, can you tell us about Jasmine Quattlebaum? How were you able to contact her for your investigation?
So actually, Jasmine Quattlebaum was somebody that Raven had met. And I should say that Raven was actually out there at Rikers riding the bus, talking to a lot of different women. She shared some of her contacts with me. I met Jasmine at her house. I interviewed her. She is someone that used to go regularly to visit her fiancé, and she used to bring his children to see him as well. And on one occasion, she was very used to the routine. She knew that there would be a dog there searching the women before they went in, or sniffing the women, rather, before they went in.
And she would be put through a pat frisk, which is right. What we were talking about earlier, where they just pat you down.
Right, exactly. And what's sort of interesting is that I guess many women, you know, wear underwire bras, which is a very common thing. But the underwire bra sets off the metal detector. Jasmine wore underwire bras. She set off the metal detector. She knew that she would be going through this pat frisk search. It was sort of routine for her until this particular day in 2015 when an officer took her into a room, was searching her, asked her to open up her pants. The officer was running her hands around her waistband, underneath her panties as well. Jasmine had her hands up, and she thought that maybe her pants were too tight or something. And then the correction officer allegedly stuck her hand in Jasmine's vagina.
Well, doesn't the Department of Corrections prohibit correction officers from conducting that kind of invasive search?
Yes, they do. That is very much against their protocols.
But it happened here? And was the officer reprimanded? Or did...
It's hard to know. It's hard to know. The Department of Correction has said that they have zero tolerance for the mistreatment of visitors. They say that they take care to ensure that the policies are being followed. But they wouldn't say whether any of these correction officers have been disciplined, citing confidentiality rules. And they also wouldn't say whether any of these complaints have been substantiated.
Because this is not a unique situation. This seems to have happened any number, more than a few times. Are men ever subjected to cavity searches?
There are a few complaints where there have been actually female COs who have searched men in the same invasive way, allegedly. We found a couple of those complaints.
I'm speaking with Cindy Rodriguez, who's WNYC's urban affairs reporter, and Raven Rakia, who is with The Intercept. Her article is in The Intercept is called The Living Nightmare. WNYC has published it as Stripped of Their Dignity at WNYC.org. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Where are the visitors searched when they visit the jail? Because several 2016 complaints said that officers brought visitors to the bathroom to be strip searched rather than to the designated search area.
Right. I think Raven and I have heard different stories. As you say, some were taken to the bathroom. And we've also heard some women say they're taken to sort of a separate room. There's also some 311 complaints about women who say that they, were in a room, but there was maybe a male officer nearby watching what was happening.
And one woman said that she was strip searched along with her two children. Can children be searched? Raven?
The DOC doesn't, at least on their directive, they don't have anything specifically talking about children when it comes to pat frisk searches. So that's a great question.
What happened to happened to Miss Quettlebaum? Why was she arrested?
So Miss Quettlebaum, after she went through this invasive search that Cindy described, she tried to move the officer's hand away basically to get out of the situation where the officer allegedly had their hand in her vagina. And the officer then arrested her and accused her of obstructing governmental administration. And she was detained in the same visitor area where she was before being arrested and charged with a misdemeanor obstructing governmental administration, as well as a violation of harassment.
And since they probably didn't find anything, what was the ultimate offense? That she didn't allow somebody to put her fingers into her vagina? Well,
right.
You run for president, that's not a problem.
I think the criminal complaint says that, first of all, the officer says in the criminal complaint that she was she felt a bulge over her clothes. Mm-hmm. So that's one discrepancy in their stories. And then the officer says that, you know, Ms. Quattlebaum knocked her hand away or pulled at her arm and she felt threatened.
So is she allowed to visit Rikers anymore?
She is. She did. She actually she was barred from visiting, and then she appealed. And Raven, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was about five. It took the Board of Correction about 5 months to reinstate her visiting privileges.
Yes, about 5 to 6 months.
Do we know approximately how many visitors pass through Rikers each day, and how many of them are women?
Yeah, we do. We know that, for instance, in 2012, there were 309,000 visitors, and in 2016, there were 207,000 visitors. So there's actually been kind of a substantial drop. Now, the Department of Correction would say that's because there's been a substantial drop in the number of inmates, but there might also be other things at play.
How many visitors to city jails were arrested last year? Do you know how many were actually attempting to smuggle contraband in?
So there were 326 as of November of last year.
Out of 300 and something thousand, 306,000, did you say?
Let me correct that. It's 336, and it's out of about 207,000, right? So it's a small number. Not all of them were arrested for contraband, but there, I think the vast majority were. But I think the Department of Corrections, though, would say, well, maybe we aren't arresting everybody, but we're still finding a lot of contraband. So, for instance, they have this program where, you know, most people arrive at the jail on a city bus. It's actually the only way to get in there. And when you're on the bus, the city has this program where they say to you, if you're carrying contraband, you can drop it here, leave it on the bus, exit the bus, go on your visit, and that's it. Nothing will happen to you. And then the correction officers go on the bus and collect whatever's been dropped. So the city says because of that amnesty program, the number of weapons attributed to visitors, for instance, has increased about sixfold.
You found that the city's 311 non-emergency service line has received at least 83 complaints from women visitors since 2010. What did they report on those calls?
It's a pretty wide variety of complaints. There are some similarities, you know, women complaining about having to show their sanitary napkins, for instance, seems to be something that gets repeated. I wanted to just, if it's okay, I wanted to read to you one of the complaints just so that you get an idea of what people are saying. So this is a 311 operator writing this complaint. Someone's calling in, and so the operator's writing, caller went to visit an inmate at Rikers Island while being searched by an inspector. The name has been redacted. At Rikers Island, she was told to take off her maxi pad and show it to her. Caller feels violated of her rights. It was reported to the captain on site, who said she will talk to the inspector. Caller wants to know if Miss Blank was following the right procedure. She did not see this in the manual. She wants to know who or what gives her the right to do that.
And Raven, you spoke to, I don't know how to pronounce this woman's name, but it looks like Tatiana Cox, who lodged a complaint less than 24 hours after she was strip searched in 2015. That also was about seeing a sanitary napkin that she was wearing.
Right. So in her complaint, Cox said that she was asked to show her sanitary napkin and had to show her genitals as she did that, and she felt violated. What was interesting about Cox's complaint was she also said that she had been searched. A cavity search had been performed on her last year, but she hadn't complained because she was afraid of retaliation or she was afraid of something happening to either her or the person she was visiting. So I think that shows a little bit about how some women are too afraid to complain and that sort of thing.
And it would have been the same officer the year before?
Yes, the same CO.
So something else seems to be at work here.
Yeah, I think that you know, one of the questions that we had in our minds when we were reporting this was whether this is systemic or whether this is just a few bad apples. And, you know, when you go and look at the actual, so you have the 311 complaints, but then you have the actual lawsuits, and there's about 24 actual lawsuits filed on behalf of about 27 women. And you can see that in those lawsuits, there's over 30 different correction officers, captains, and wardens who are named. So, you know, the attorney, Alan Figman, who's representing many of these women, feels that that's a sign that it's more systemic. And, you know, it's not just at Rikers. It's also these allegations are coming from a Manhattan detention center and a Brooklyn detention center as well.
I'm speaking to WNYC's urban affairs reporter Cindy Rodriguez and Raven Rocky, a journalist at The Intercept, about an investigation that they did that has led to a story appearing on WNYC.org as stripped of their dignity and at The Intercept's website as a living nightmare. We will continue our conversation after this. And now we are back with Raven Rakia of The Intercept and Cindy Rodriguez of WNYC. She's our urban affairs reporter. They have written stories about the problems that many women face when they visit inmates at Rikers Island. The one at WNYC.org is called Stripped of Their Dignity. The one at The Intercept website is A Living Nightmare. And let's talk about another person, Lillian Rivera, who is one of the women who testified before the Board of Corrections in July 2015. She described the experience as that living nightmare that you used in your headline. What happened to her, Raven?
Yeah, so Lillian Rivera was actually the first woman I met who told me she had been strip searched. I met her after a Board of Correction hearing. And so her story is that she's visited Rikers multiple times a week. She's had issues with a couple COs about trying to stop her visits, et cetera. And then one day in 2015, she was actually subjected to a cavity search where they went into her private parts with a glove that she called dirty. And Rivera was very passionate. She went to the Board of Correction their public hearing, and she told them about this. She complained to the board as well as the Department of Correction officials that were in the room at the time. And she's also she was also one of the women who filed the lawsuit pro se by herself even before she found a lawyer.
Was she given any reason for being given this invasive search?
No, it's just so with William Rivera uses a walker, and so she sets off the metal detector just about every time. So she is then subjected to more searches. So that was the main reason that she set off the metal detector. But other than that, there was no reason given why she was given this search.
Cindy, we've mentioned a number of lawsuits in the past for strip searching detainees accused of minor crimes. Hasn't the city paid millions in settlements within recent years?
Yeah, that's true. So let's say between 2001 and 2012, in that period of time, there were actually three different settlements. One of them had to do with strip searching people who had been arrested for minor violations a lot of times before they were even arraigned due to what the city called security concerns. Another one had to do with people who were strip searched as they were being admitted into Rikers. And, you know, the controller does have a mechanism to where they have something called claim stat, which is, you know, comp stat is you're trying to find areas of high crime. So claim stat is where you're trying to find areas of high claims where you can step in and intervene and stop them from ballooning.
And save the city some money.
Exactly. But they don't specifically search for strip search claims.
So the policies continue? In 2001, didn't the city agree to pay up to $50 million? And in 2010, the city reached a $33 million settlement. This can get rather expensive. You'd think at some point these corrections officers would be told, hey, really be careful about this.
Yeah, I would say that that the Department of Corrections says, you know, this is not our policy. Our protocol is that the most invasive form of search you can do is this pat frisk search, and you know, we're taking care to make sure that the policies are being followed, and yet you have all of these allegations coming through.
How many women are currently in the process of suing the Department of Correction?
So it's 27 women, and there's 24 different lawsuits, and one of the lawsuits is a class action lawsuit.
Raven, you also spoke to Alan Figman, an attorney who represents many of the women who are currently suing the DOC. What did he tell you about the cases?
So Alan Figman is representing over 20 women, and he... His concern was how similar the stories were, how women from different jail facilities, women visiting different jail facilities, all had the similar story of being strip searched, from Brooklyn to Rikers Island to the Manhattan detention complex. So, you know, that made him think that maybe this is a larger issue. The other lawyer who I also spoke to, Scott Simpson, who is one of the lawyers representing the class action lawsuit, that's the question they're asking as well. Is this policy, have COs been directed to do this by someone at a higher level? So that's the question they're trying to answer with their lawsuit.
And Figman told you it's almost like the correctional officers are being trained to do something that is way outside of department protocol. One of his clients, Christy McNally, described a truly horrific cavity search. What happened? Well, can we talk about it on the radio?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but I can tell you that McNally was... She was in a search area with four other COs at the time, it seemed that they were all helping with the strip search at the same time. So according to her lawsuit, her complaint, no one said, actually, we're not supposed to be doing this, or no one, you know, spoke out. One CO held her down, to the wall, and another CO pulled down her pants and then put two fingers in her private areas.
Now, one attorney said that strip searching visitor policies are unconstitutional, violate the Fourth Amendment. What about the Supreme Court? Has it ever ruled on strip searches, Cindy?
Yeah, it has ruled on strip searches a couple of times, most recently in 2012, where it found that... that officials may strip search people arrested for any offense, even minor ones, or even when there's no suspicion, before admitting them into a jail.
So this is constitutional, according to the Supreme Court.
Well, there is that ruling. There was, even going much further back, there was a ruling about whether inmates could be strip searched after they've had a contact visit with someone outside of a facility. So, but I guess something to keep in mind here, Leonard, is that these are decisions that are about inmates who have been charged with a crime, who are in jail. And what we're talking about here are visitors, people, mostly women, who are not part of the criminal justice system. They are visiting someone who's in jail.
In fact, often visiting a loved one, it's traumatic to even have to go through this whole process for many people. Are there any specific laws that protect the rights of visitors?
Yes. Raven, you want to?
Sure. So the Board of Correction oversees the Department of Correction, and they have a list of minimum standards that the DOC is mandated by city charter to comply to. They have standards for visitors in terms of their inmates are allowed to receive contact visits unless they have done activity that shows that they're liable to do something against the law, like bring in contraband. So there are standards that say that visitors can have contact visits, and they're allowed to see their loved ones and so on and so forth, that are mandated by law.
One of the people involved, Nimra Butt, said it was only after she'd already been subjected to multiple strip searches that she discovered they were against the rules. It sounds like many visitors are unaware of their rights.
Yeah, that was definitely a theme that I saw as I was interviewing people. A lot of women either didn't know that strip searches weren't allowed, or they did know now after a certain amount of time had passed, but for a while they were unaware. There's an issue of people knowing their rights and people knowing what can and cannot happen while they're on a visit, for sure.
I think you can see in the 311 complaints also where women say, is this allowed? What are my rights?
Now, you found that most of the allegations involve searches conducted at Rikers, but aren't they also coming from other facilities throughout the boroughs, the Manhattan Detention Center, the Brooklyn Detention Center?
Yes, that's true. There were, I think less than half, but about 11 of the lawsuits, I think, had to do with allegations coming from both of those places.
So is the training similar all throughout the city?
I do believe that correction officers at all facilities get trained in the same way.
And then are they sometimes transferred from one to the other?
I believe that's the case, too, but I'm not positive.
You don't know either, Raven, do you? Well, it's not all that important, but in the end, we are seeing this as a systemic situation throughout the city, and I'm assuming that it probably occurs in other cities as well. Raven, who is Kelsey Davila?
Davila. She works as a social worker, and so she has spoken to a lot of people who have visited loved ones in jail. And so she, as well as other nonprofit advocates and social workers, they have gone to the Board of Correction and testified. This is what we're hearing. Many women and men, visitors in general, are coming to us and telling us that they're experiencing these very invasive searches, and this is an issue that needs to be looked into. So I spoke to her, and she told me a little bit about what people have told her when they've gone on visits, which compared to what we have heard in other interviews were very similar.
So if I, a male, decided to go visit somebody at the Brooklyn Detention Center, there's a possibility that I might be strip searched?
It's looking that way. So the majority of visitors are women or families, so there are less men who go visit, but we have heard complaints that men have also been strip searched, have been ordered to expose their genitals as well.
Are the search rules different at state and federal prisons?
Yes, they are.
So are they less invasive?
So it's a little actually confusing when it comes to New York State prisons, the exact rules. It seems that they have to go through a lot of hoops to prove that they need to strip search someone in order for that person to come into the facility. It's not completely off the books, but they do have to go through a number of legal avenues before it's allowed.
Now, Cindy, what did the DOC tell you about these allegations, and what did Elias Husamuddin, the president of the Correction Officers Benevolent Association, tell you about them?
So I guess let's start with Elias. So Mr. Husamuddin is the president of COBA, which represents about 10,000 correction officers. And he felt that these allegations were nothing new, he said. And he said that oftentimes visitors will make these allegations in order to get an effective correction officer removed from their post. So
the visitors are the problem here.
That is what he was alleging. It was hard to substantiate that without knowing whether someone's been disciplined or not, and without knowing whether someone's actually been removed from their post. It's hard to say.
And the Department of Corrections?
And the Department of Corrections, you know, they responded by saying that they, but first of all, the protocols are, you know, that these sorts of searches are not allowed. And then they also said that they take these complaints seriously and that they investigate them. And they also said, which I may have mentioned, but I'm not sure, that their evidence uncovered, you know, they wouldn't say whether any of the complaints were substantiated or credible, but they did say that they found a few to be false.
Raven, what was your experience when you visited Rikers to do interviews?
Yeah, so after I met Lillian Rivera, that's when I started going to Rikers to just survey women and see if this was a larger problem. I ended up speaking to over 100 women, and about one in four women said they had been strip searched or cavity searched or a search that was not allowed.
But you weren't searched that way when you visited?
No, I actually didn't visit. I actually didn't go through with the visit. I sat on the bus and at the bus stop where women who visit Rikers have to get on the bus to go on the island. So I wasn't, I didn't visit the island myself, if that makes sense.
Would installing cameras do anything to help solve this problem?
Yeah, I think it would. And, you know, the Department of Investigation had recommended cameras be installed, and we are told by the Department of Corrections that they began installing them in September and that they have now been installed in all the search areas.
Didn't you follow the case of an accused guard, Erica Mayweather? What were the allegations against her? And you got to tell us very quickly.
Raven, do you want to handle that?
Yeah, sure. So in one lawsuit, Mayweather was accused of being in the room and standing there while someone else strip searched a visitor. And then in another notice of claim, Mayweather is accused of performing part of the cavity search. And Mayweather is also in one other lawsuit where she's accused of a strip search as well. And so Mayweather was also promoted to captain in the first quarter of 2016, which is why that was interesting.
We have to leave it there. We thank you both so much for being on our show, Raven Rakia of The Intercept and Cindy Rodriguez of WNYC, where she is the urban affairs reporter. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having us.